ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. But he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little then for you to weary men that you also weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold the justice with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Micah 5, 2 through 4. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Numbers 24, in verse 17, it says, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is open, the oracle of him who hears the word of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. In Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the end of the earth your possession. In Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancients of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory, a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. In John 1, 1 through 5, and then at the end, verse 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Galatians 4, 4 through 5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Colossians 2, 9 through 10, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. 1 Timothy 3:16, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He who was made manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on the world, taken up in glory. Hebrews 1:1-3, long ago at many times in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through he was formed in the form of God, did not account equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed him a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John 3, 14 through 19. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but into the world that might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world. Luke 1, 68 through 69. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Matthew 1, 22 through 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Would you believe me if I told you that was the shorter version? Let me go and read all of Matthew, verses 18 through 24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, today, if I was to make one point more clear than any other, what every scripture pointed to is this: that a child came to us named Emmanuel, God with us. A child was not born to us that was merely a child. A child wasn't born to us that was just slightly more special than other children. A child wasn't born to us that happened to do great things in his life. A child was born to us that was God with us. A child that was born to us was God in the flesh, in full power and full authority. Typically, I like to go through the scriptures and go through each verse and try to pull out the truth of what the scriptures are doing. But today, I'm going to return to my home roots. They might even let me home now. I've got three alliterated points. It's going to be beautiful. Here's what we can know. Here's what we can know by knowing that God is with us. That we have a Savior. And the first thing that we can know is that that Savior is personal. That Savior is personal. God didn't come in the form of a spirit that showed up and popped in and out, that spoke wise words and did some miracles and disappeared. He showed up as a man. And he didn't show up as a man, as a grown man, who came just to do his 2.5 years or so of ministry and then leave. He showed up as a babe in the mother's womb, who grew for 9 months in his mother's womb, and who was born the same as you and I, out of his mother's womb. That God came to earth as a man and understood what it was like to be a man, that he was thirsty, he was hungry, He experienced heat and cold. He experienced emotions. He went out to the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil himself. That everything we experience in this life, we have a Savior who knows it, who is personal, who is and was a man, just as you and I, but also God fully, that God might come down and experience what it's like for us, to see what it's like for us. So when we pray, when we speak, we know we're speaking to a God who has seen it and done it. That we don't go to him before the throne and say, oh God, who's in heaven, who has never been on earth, never known what it's like, please take pity on me. But we can pray to a Jesus who was here on the earth and who knows. When we go to him and say we are in complete grief, he says, I know, I wept. When we come to him in complete joy and in celebration, he dances with us because he knows what it's like to be merry and to celebrate. That we can go to a personal Savior, a Savior who came born as a son, a Savior who knows what it means to walk on a life that is uncertain because of the people around you. He experienced what it was like to have 12 friends living amongst him all the time and the entanglements that happened. One of those 12 friends betrayed him to the point of death. I've had people stab me in the back. None of it has led me to death. We have a personal Savior who came and lived a personal life that was recorded here in the scriptures by the people who lived alongside of him in that personal life. God has come to be with us, to be a personal Savior, not just one who sits on a throne up high and judges from a place that he's never been, but one who's been there and done that too. One who is fully encompassing it. Of those scriptures that I read, I think to Philippians 2, 5 through 11, when I think about a personal Savior. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, that there was Christ Jesus who was God, who had full equality with God, and he humbled himself to come to us, even to the point of death, that he was obedient to God to the point of death, setting a personal example that we can see no matter how extreme of a situation we are, no matter how extreme of a life that we're facing, that we have a personal God who has been there and done that. The next thing that we can see is this. We see in verse 22 of Matthew 1. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The first verse that I read was Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. And in this, there's a gentleman named Ahaz who he's being asked by Isaiah himself, like, hey, what do you need to see from God to believe that what I'm telling you is from him? And Ahaz is trying to pull the old righteousness card. Oh, no, I couldn't test God. Don't do that. So God himself has to step in and speak and say, fine, if you won't tell me what you want, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a virgin conceive birth and give birth. And that's not going to just be any old child. It's going to be God with us. It's going to be me. It is a beautiful and a wonderful thing when a child is born. But I do think that we know how that happens. And it happens every day all around the world. However, if God 800 years beforehand said, hey, I'm going to do something that's never happened, and you can't actually explain how it happened naturally because that's what a miracle actually is. Yeah, I'm going to call my shot 800 years in advance. I'm going to go ahead and let you know that I, God, am going to be born through a woman, and that woman is never going to have been touched by another man. God doesn't come, and it doesn't say that he came and in some kind of Greek mythological way made Jesus. Simply that the power of the Most High conceived a child in Mary's womb. The miracle way, not the old-fashioned way. And not only that, not only can we go and look at not an innumerable, we know it's about 350, but we can go look at about 350 prophecies of our Savior who is to come. Jesus didn't just show up and have a good message and convince a lot of people that he was someone worth following, that a religion should start around him. There was many, many sages at the time of Christ. We see in the scriptures where in the epistles where they say, don't believe these other Christ who will come. It was something they were dealing with from the jump, that there were these other people who were going around and trying to proclaim a message. None of them, though, were prophesied 350 times over the span of about 1,500 years. None of them have the full counsel of Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and we can continue to name the prophets. Those are just the major ones. None of them have 350 ways to point to them. Christ is the one who fulfills it. Our Savior isn't one who just showed up and fooled a bunch of people. He was God who showed up when God called his shots for 1,000 years beforehand. Even if you want to go with the most liberal dating of Isaiah, if you want to say, I won't believe that there has been someone 700 years beforehand prophesying Jesus to come, great. But we know at least 200 years beforehand, we still have the scroll of Isaiah dated. So, fine, God called a shot for 200 years if you want to take the most conservative estimate. What it says to me is that the God who is all-powerful and the ruler of this world, who created this world, who organized this world, who holds the world in order in his hand, that God is the one and the only one capable of looking into the future and not just saying, I think this is going to happen, but saying this will come to pass. And then it does. Perfectly. Every time. We have a Savior who's personal, and we have a Savior who is prophesied, who didn't just show up on the scene, but was spoken of, and who we can look to and we can know. The wise men didn't just show up in Jerusalem on a good hunch. It's because they maybe didn't know Daniel himself, but they knew the teachings of Daniel. They knew what Daniel had to say. They knew that there was the Son of Man who was to come. They knew the prophecy in Numbers. And they knew that a star would come out of David. They knew they could look to the stars and they could see a star that would say, oh, that prophesied king has showed up. It's time to go check it out. Jesus didn't just show up on the scene out of nowhere, but he was our prophesied Savior. And the last thing that we can know looking at this verse, looking at what it means that God is with us, is that our Savior is not just personal, he's not just prophesied, but he's perfect. That God is our Savior. We are saved by God himself. That there is none who can come between him. There is none who can stop him. There is none that he does that is wrong. There is none that he has in his will and his way that is not for our best interest, even when we don't see it in the moment. That if God is with us, if he is our Savior, then what do we have to worry about? If the one who has created all is the one who has us in his hands, what do we have to fear? Possibly the most, if not one of the five most famous passages in the scriptures is in John 3. That no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. There's not qualifications in there. There's not a list of things to meet in there. There's not a list of, hey, if you have done these things, you're not going to make the cut. Instead, a perfect God who's capable of all things, of all power and all dominion on this earth, was able to come and say, hey, how's the only way that the unrighteous can be seen as righteous? If God himself, the judge himself, takes the punishment. The one who could hold the wrath of God alone is God. The one who could go and save all of man and be a perfect substitution is God himself. No man could do that. Only God could. And we have a perfect Savior who saves perfectly. Our Savior is personal. He was prophesied and he is perfect. All of us can turn to our Savior and find in him perfect salvation, perfect faith, perfect trust, perfect hope. He offers this. And from the very moment that he entered the world, he was named this, God with us, that he would be known as God with us. Even his actual name, Jesus, the Lord is my salvation. It's what it means. We have a perfect, personal, prophesied Savior who is capable of saving all. That when we turn to him, then we turn to the perfect babe who lived a perfect life and died as a perfect man and resurrected as a perfect man, that man, Jesus, is the one who can save, because he is God who came to be with us. Let us pray. God, thank you for you coming here as a man. We know you're here with us now as your Spirit, but that there is something personal in you coming as a man. There's something personal in you being the one yourself to be our Savior. That no man could possibly be the one to save man. Only God could save man. And that you did it in the most intimate, in the most precious, in the most personal way. To come as a babe and to live a full life, that you would know what it means to be one of us, that we could look to you in full faith and trust, because not only are you fully God, but you also come to be fully man. And it's this holiday season that we celebrate that coming, Lord, that hope came into the world, the light of the world had come, that the Word was made flesh and came to save. Lord, may we put our faith in you. May our trust be in you. May we turn only to you. May we look to your Word to know you. That when we do, when we look across the whole of what you've given us here in the Scriptures, that it's unavoidable to see that you came to be with us, to save us. Lord, and I pray that we all see the value in that salvation, that we come to place our trust in you, in your hands, that there is none that we can call on but the name of Jesus to be saved. May that ring true in our hearts. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.